Good morning, brothers and sisters. If we consider the COVID situation elsewhere in the world, especially in some European countries and in America, what an enormous blessing and privilege it is that we can and may come here together this morning for worship. We're very thankful that we can come into God's presence with reverence and awe to praise and glorify His name. We extend a warm welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us here this morning in worship, but also those who have joined us via the live stream. May we all be strengthened in faith and edified by the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Consistory has the following announcements. During the past week, we have been informed by Reverend David Pohl of Owen Sounds that he has accepted a call, which we extended to him, to be sent out as a missionary to PNG. Needless to say that we are extremely grateful with this decision. An attestation has been requested by the Mark Vanilek family for the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott. We wish this family the Lord's blessing as they settle in their new congregation. An attestation has been received from the Church of Albany for brother and sister Colin and Melissa Klein with their two baptized girls, baptized daughters, and we welcome this new family in our midst. Brother Oakley, Boris de Snoo, and Sister Chiara Marie Old have indicated their intentions to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward by the end of this month, the wedding ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Saturday the 20th of February 2021. At the Araluen Botanical Gardens at 1 p.m. with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Due to the present COVID-19 restrictions, which are still in place, attendance is by invitation only. Then we receive word from Albany that Reverend H. Alkemar has received a call from the Canadian Reformed Church in Chilliwack, British Columbia. The family of our late sister, Dina Plug, has requested us to inform you of the following funeral arrangements. This coming Monday evening, that's tomorrow, there is an opportunity to offer condolences to the family in the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott at 7:30 p.m. Reverend Veltman, our emeritus minister, will also have a brief meditation during the evening. A family service will be convened, the Lord willing, in the Free Reformed Church of Albany on Tuesday the 2nd of February at 11 a.m. That's this coming Tuesday a week. The interment will take place at 1 p.m. at the cemetery, after which refreshments will be available in the Albany Church. This morning we have the privilege to welcome to the pulpit our Emeritus Minister, Reverend A. Veltman, and this afternoon Brother Andrew Ballhouse will lead the worship service. Before we commence the service, let us sing together from Psalm 138, verse 1. Psalm 138, verse 1.
Oh, Brothers and sisters, as we are here together to worship the Lord, first of all, we will confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And he greets you, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord. It's singing Psalm 46, the verses 1 and 2. Now we listen to the holy law of our faithful covenant God to test our heart and life to this law as to the rule of thankfulness. Thereafter you sing from Psalm 78, verse 3. Psalm 78, verse 3, after the 10 words of God's covenant. God spoke all these words and is in Christ saying them to us today as well. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized this as follows. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Thank thee that amid all the turmoil in this world, we as thy children may shelter with thee. Lord, we could sing of this. Sing that thou art always near to help, and therefore we have nothing to fear. Though the earth may shake in great commotion, mountains plunge into the ocean, though roaring seas make mountains quake, thy people thou wilt not forsake. That's how we may find rest. True rest, as only thou can give it. Rest, since in faith, Father, we have the comfort that thou art in control of everything. Standing high above the raging nations, having the reign of world history in thy almighty hands. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast worked faith in our hearts to find comfort in this beautiful confession. Also knowing that thou is the Almighty One and our Father in Christ, our Heavenly Father, who art in control also of our lives, working everything together for our salvation. Lord, we thank thee for all these undeserved blessings. Undeserved, Lord, for we also acknowledge our sinfulness, our shortcomings, our failures. Thou hast seen them throughout the past week again, and it has grieved thee. We know this from thy word, and also having listened to thy perfect law, mirroring our life in thy perfect law, Father, we see how much we fall short each day again. And so in genuine humbleness, we confess our sins, asking thee to forgive them in the blood which thy Son shed on Calvary, also for us. Yes, Lord, we realize that it is only through him that we can draw near to thee, our mediator Jesus Christ, who is seated at thy right hand to plead for us. Lord, we thank thee for the riches of that pleading. Each day again, when we draw near in prayer to thee, help us to cling to that advocate we have in heaven. Lord, we also ask thee to help us in the battle with the evil one, who each day again is tempting us to lure us away from thee. Weak in ourselves, Father, we seek our strengths in thee alone, so that we may persevere in that battle. By thy Spirit, who dwells in us to guide us in thy ways. Yes, Father, may he help us to keep our eyes directed on Christ, seeking the things that are above, and grant that in this way, Father, our lives may become more and more beautiful before thee, living that new life that thou hast given us in Christ. Grant that in this way our lives are always wholly committed to thee. As we are now about to open our word, we pray thee enlighten our minds, so that we may understand thy word according to thy holy will. Help us in listening attentively. Grant us a blessed worship service. Be near to us both in speaking and listening. And may throughout this worship service, thy name be glorified in all that we do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We now will open God's word in the prophecies of Amos. Prophecies of Amos. Amos himself lived in Judah, but he was as a prophet of God sent to the northern tribes, Samaria. And they didn't like him there much. Of course, it was a prophet who only proclaimed doom. But why? Because the people did not hear, not listen to what the Lord had to say to them. And that's what we will listen reading first. So it is the chapter after our text that we read first to get a bit of an idea what the people in the northern kingdoms were like at the time that Amos came there to prophesy God's word. We read from chapter 4, the verses 6 through to 13, where Amos, on behalf of the Lord, speaks these following words: I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. So the Lord came with his judgment, but the people did not listen, and that goes through this whole section. I also withheld the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I would send rain on one city and no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So 2 or 3 cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I struck you with blight and mildew. Your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locusts devoured. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses. I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to men what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So far. Let us sing from the Song of Moses, hymn 12, verse 1 and 2.
Oh,
shall turn to our text, Amos 3, verse 1 through to 8. Amos 3, verse 1 through to 8. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together, unless they have agreed to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out for his den if he has taken nothing? Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for him? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in the city, and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city, unless the Lord has done it? For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? So far, the text. In response to the sermon, we'll sing from Psalm 43, verses 3 and 5. Psalm 43, verses 3 and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, with Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we confess whatever happens to us in this life does not come by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. Likewise, we confess in Article 13 of the Belgian Confession, God so rules and governs all things in this world, and in a similar way, all things in our personal lives, that nothing happens without his divine direction. Well, the prophet Amos says basically the same to the people of the northern tribes on behalf of the Lord, putting this rhetorical question: if there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Many people struggle with this question. And let's be honest, at times we do as well. No, there is no doubt in our minds that all that is happening at present comes from God's hand. It's God's hand ruling the COVID-19 pandemic, including its new strains. It's God's hand that ruled the outcome of the American election with all the turmoil around it. No one would have any difficulty confessing that this morning. We all believe it. But the point I want to address this morning, brothers, is what do we do with this knowledge? It comforts, but at the same time, anxiety can get hold also of us. What does the future hold? How long will this pandemic last with all that's involved in it? Jobs, income, the economic outlook, church services, still some restrictions. Will it ever go back to normal? We can meet every Sunday. We are allowed to sing. Yet there are also countries where they cannot meet. And in case they are allowed to meet, singing is not permitted. But taking all this into account and thinking about it, who would not struggle at times? As such, there is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong as long as we keep seeing God's hand in all this. And even more importantly, that throughout all these trials, we may grow closer to God and find that inward peace as only God can give it. Inner peace amid all the unrest and anxiety we see around us. Pray to God, beloved, that he will give you that peace, that rest. Above all, pray daily that amid these trying times, God may help you to live your faith. To live your faith in bringing glory to God, who is in total control of all that is happening at present, not only in Australia, but also globally. If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Let's go to the passage we will focus on this morning, to see what the Lord wants to teach us. Not only to receive comfort, but even more importantly, to see how the Lord is busy with all these things, also in our lives, to bring us closer to Him. Amos 3. In the two previous chapters, Amos had spoken about God's judgments, not only upon the Gentiles surrounding Israel and Judah, but also about God's judgment upon His chosen nation, His own children. On behalf of the Lord, Amos rings the alarm. But the people don't want to hear this. Life is good. It was under the reign of Jeroboam II, which was the golden age in the time that in the northern kingdom, life was good. Well, nothing to be afraid of. But in the meantime, God's people have become hardening their hearts. And for this reason, Amos want to shake God's people awake so that they no longer close the eyes for what is going on. Amos blows the trumpet. And so I've summarized it also. Amos urges God's people to see God at work in all that is happening. 4. If there is a calamity, will not the Lord have done it? And also, when the Lord does something, did He not reveal it beforehand? And therefore, only when we shelter with Him, we will be safe. If there is a calamity, will not the Lord have done it? I mentioned already, brothers and sisters, that Amos did not have such a good name among God's people living in the northern kingdom. And somehow you can understand that. The man only spoke about judgment. And of course the people did not mind it where it concerned God's judgment upon the heathen nations. But when it was proclaimed with the same ruthlessness, even about God's own people, that did not go down so well. How could Amos say all this? After all, had God not himself chosen Israel out of all the families of the earth? How could God now all of a sudden be against them? That didn't make no sense. Amos, you must be wrong. However, beloved, listen to Amos' response to this complaint. He says, you are right. On behalf of the Lord, he says, you are right. Verse 2a, you only have I known of the families of the earth. You are my precious people, the apple of my eye. But it's precisely for this reason that I'm going to punish you for all your iniquities. Just because I love you so much, your sins are hurting me. I can no longer tolerate them as a father of his children. From this we learn, brothers and sisters, being elected by God, being covenant children, should never make us become proud. Being blessed by God should never cause us to think that we are better than others. Instead, it should make us humble. Lord, despite the many sins that are also in my life, who am I, Lord, that I may still be a child of thine? Lord, as he bends himself also in prayer this morning, that's totally undeserved. And let us not just say that, but also mean that we see it. With every single sin, I grieve my Father in heaven, whom I then, that I can be here this morning in the presence of Holy God. Lord, I don't deserve this. See, brothers, that attitude was lacking among God's people in Amos' day. While the poor had hardly anything to eat, the rich based themselves in wealth. Also, The people of God served God in a way that suited them. But meanwhile, it was contrary to what God had commanded. It was a self-willed serving of God. As we see it also today, among many who still call themselves Christians. A serving of God where God no longer stands in the center, but man instead. In serving God this way, the question is no longer, what does God require of me? But more and more stands central, how does serving the Lord make me happy? By way of example, we have to find a more friendly liturgy in the church, no longer those dry, traditional worship services we are used to, but happier, more welcoming. But in all this, it's directed at the feeling of man. Instead of God, it is all to serve man. Serve man's personal feelings. It must feel good when you go to church. It was because of this, beloveds, that in Amos' day, God's people had become almost immune to the faithful preaching of God's word, resistant to all that Amos had to say to them on behalf of the Lord. And that's why he addresses God's people of old in a similar way as the Lord Jesus once did. Because our passage is very similar. If you turn with me to Luke 12 for a moment, where Jesus addresses the people of Israel in his days with similar questions. Luke 12, verse 54 to 56. Luke 12, verse 54 to 56. Jesus said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it is. When you see the south wind blowing, you say the wind will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? But likewise in our text, by putting some rhetorical questions, Amos wants God's people to open their eyes to see God at work in all that is happening around them, but also their personal life. He says in verse 3, Amos 3, verse 3, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet. You walk, the two of you, you go on the planned route. It's by appointment. Likewise, when the lion roars, the cause must be that there is a prey to seize. And so the argument goes on with questions posed, which all demand an answer, of course not. Verse 5. Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Repeatedly, the answer to all these questions is, of course not. It's unthinkable that when the trumpet is blown, people would not react. Well, so Amos said in 6b, does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? However, as far as that last incident is concerned, so Amos is implicitly saying, as far as that last point is concerned, you don't seem to understand. In the same way as the Lord Jesus said it in Luke 12. When the trumpet is blown, no one carries on with his regular duties in the city. You don't keep feasting as if you didn't hear anything. You will take action. That's how it was in those days. The blow of the trumpet meant the city is in danger. Everyone knew it. Everyone would take action immediately. And now the Lord blows the trumpet, but people don't want to listen. They carry on with their lives as there was nothing to be feared. Do you not understand, O Israelites? All that you see happening around you, the rumbling of the thunder, it doesn't just happen by chance. You who in other instances have no difficulty in drawing conclusions from what you see around you, in this case, you seem to be as blind as a bat. That's the context of our text. If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Also today, brothers and sisters, many people have difficulty acknowledging God's hand in all the misery we are confronted with. About a year ago, COVID-19 had just started. It was at that time that I read about a principle of the Anglican Church over East. It written a letter to our parents to say that we should not forget that it was God's hand in what we experienced at that moment. By the worldly press, he was mocked straight away. You're not allowed to say this. Let alone that in that same context he would speak about God's judgment upon the sins of the nation. Even many modern Christians have difficulty with this. And so they start looking at other things. Often they blame the government that they have not acted rightly, did not react quickly enough. They join in with all the other complaints you hear around us. Beloved, let's be careful that we live our faith to the glory of God's name also now. Live our faith also by what we put on Facebook or other social media. Ask whether you are correct in what you are posting. Ask whether it's God-honoring, also in this time of pandemic. So how should we act in response to all the unrest and hype we see around us? Some might say, one should acknowledge God's hand in the hurt and pain we suffer, accepting it without murmuring, believing, even though it is beyond our comprehension, it's God that works in everything for good for those who love him. Full stop. Isn't that what Scripture teaches? In other words, we must learn to say, thy will be done. No questions. In faith, we must learn to carry whatever God places on our path and ask for daily strength. Full stop, no grumbling, live your faith. That sounds very scriptural. But beloved, I wonder whether this is actually what God asks of us. Simple acceptance, full stop, no complaint, no anxiety whatsoever. Think of what's going on elsewhere, especially in Europe at present. Lockdown, curfews. In that regard, we have been very blessed here in Australia, and in Western Australia in particular. You've hardly experienced any of these restrictions, although, think back of the beginning of last year. Do you still remember it? March, April, parents and grandparents no longer able to visit their children, their grandchildren. Husband and wives no longer allowed to see their loved ones in nursing homes. Funerals with only 10 people permitted to attend. Would that not hurt? Would that not make one crying? Who would not struggle with all the emotions involved? Is that wrong? And even now, we still cannot visit loved ones overseas or attend funerals of family members who have died in Canada, South Africa, and the Netherlands. All of this hurts. We struggle. Is that wrong? Must we say without any inward struggle, Lord, thy will be done, full stop. The Lord Jesus himself cried at Lazarus' tomb. It's our Savior's reaction to the destructive power of sin and death and its effect on life. It caused him to cry. And that's why the Lord Jesus struggled also in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his eyes, death was evil. He did not merely acquiesce. Father, if it is thy will, please let this cup pass me. He struggled. So what should our reaction be? That's not so easy to say, brothers and sisters. For a start, indeed, we should hold on to what we confess in Article 13, that the Lord is in control. But the Lord is not the author of sin. God uses the hurt and pain which even his own children suffer to bring his purpose about. So we must see God at work in all that is happening. And again, that we not always have the ready answers and to say why. But it's not needed either. As long as we see that God is busy with us, personally as well, and as churches. See, beloved, it was this eye of faith that was lacking in Amos' day. I may refer here to what we read in chapter 4. The Lord gave lack of bread, withheld rain, blasted with blight and mildew, a scorching eastern wind, mildew, a product of parasitic worms. These were calamities through which the Lord ringed the alarm with the aim that his people turn back to him, but repeatedly we read, yet ye have not returned, says the Lord. In these words, brothers and sisters, we hear the word of a loving God, a loving Father. So many signs through which I wanted to teach you, try to win you back, yet you did not understand. You just carried on with your life as if nothing had happened. You explained it merely as a course of nature, not acknowledging my hand in all this. But if there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? That's the context of the word. The context of the word shows this text for this morning sermon. The Lord says to his children, open your eyes, see my hand, repent from your evil, turn back to me. If you know all the answers to all these previous rhetorical questions so well, why not answer this last question? When the branches of the fig tree become tender, you know that summer is near. When you see clouds in the sky, you know the rain is coming. Why then, when calamities occur, you ignore and act dumb? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not me, beloveds. Whenever these things occur, that God is teaching us a lesson. In a certain way, the answer is yes. Through calamities, pain, and hurt, God is always busy with us. But we should also be careful with this reasoning. For example, when a person becomes seriously ill or gets into an accident, is that because of his or her sins? That's what the friends of Job thought. That's what they also told him. Admit you're killed. Now all that is happening. You should be cautious with comments like these, brothers and sisters. In general, it's always a pitfall when we try to find out for someone else why something is happening to him or her. We better keep silent. Asking ourselves, what does the Lord want to teach me personally? Also in what is happening in the lives of others. And that's how God is always busy with us as a congregation. It's not true that there is always a direct relation between sorrow, illness, disappointment, and the sin from which one has to repent. The Lord can also be busy with us in other ways. The main thing is that we see God at work, busy with us in one way or another. And so entrusting ourselves to God, we will find peace, rest. Also amidst this pandemic of the coronavirus. When life goes through deep valleys, it may take time to find peace with God. Read the book of Job. What for struggles he goes through. A whole book. Almost wrestling with God as once Jacob did at Peniel. Why? It's only at the end of the book that God reveals to Job who he is. And then Job feels so small. Lord, who am I to ask questions to the Almighty One who's created the whole universe? Every star counted by name. Every heartbeat, every breath of every morning is a gift of God's grace. Who am I to ask God, why does this happen? I don't deserve this. Well, it may take time to come to such a confession. But the Lord also allows for it. We don't have to come ready with things overnight. If a loved one dies, then I should not stay straight away saying, oh, that's nice, because that's what the Lord wanted. Thy will be done. If my wife would die tonight, I wonder whether I get it straight away over my lips. Although I believe it. But that's a struggle. I've seen it many times. We struggle like many an author of the Psalms struggled. But in faith, we keep clinging to God who is near, also in these struggles. Then cling to him. He will keep us in his care. He will help us persevere. That's the comfort we have. On behalf of the Lord, Amos admonishes God's people that it always knows to draw the conclusions, yet not when God strikes with calamity. And then he goes on to say there's even less reason for that, that you struggle. For it says in verse 7, Amos 3 verse 7, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. So that makes the question of 6b even more pointed. God's people in Amos, they did not want to hear about judgment. Hence, Amos should stop prophesying. They did not want to listen to him. But in the end, brothers, it would mean, and God also says that through Amos, that in the end, God would take his words away from them. Amos 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. That can also happen, that the Lord takes his way away. And so it is a privilege that we as God's people have God's word as the compass. And we should never put that at risk. Amos underlines that in verse 8a, where he says, verse 8a, the lion has roared, who will not fear? Therefore, O Israel, as Israelites, listen. Acknowledge God's grace that he is still speaking to you, warning you. For the Lord does nothing unless he has revealed it beforehand. Beloved, the Lord always forewarns his people. He did that already in paradise. God warned Adam and Eve of the consequences in case they would eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they didn't listen. God forewarned that he would strike the earth with a flood unless the people would repent. But they didn't listen. And that's the recurring theme in Scripture. God sent out prophets to call his people to repentance, having the salvation of his people at heart, also in Amos' day. He forewarned them, unless you repent, exile is imminent. But God's people did not want to listen. Well, beloved, that's how also today God's word goes out into this world, goes out also to us. We have the compass of God's word, but we should also use it. And then I'd like to look at you at a parallel between Amos 3 verse 7 and Revelation 1 verse 1. In Amos 3 verse 7, it says, for the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now you turn to Revelation 1. Then there is a similarity. Revelation 1 verse 1. It says there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. In Amos' day, the Lord called his people to open their eyes for his hand in history, pointing to what was happening in the world around them. Judgment prophecies, like in chapter 2. The Bible says, likewise, the Lord has made known to his New Testament church what will take place. God revealed it to John, who passed it on to the churches, and through Scripture it's passed on to us today. From the last book in the Bible in particular, we know that God is at work in wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and other calamities, like the current pandemic, with all the economic consequences involved. We too have been forewarned so that nothing strange would happen. And so we should always follow the news we are confronted with. It's the Bible open. That's our compass. In his love, the Lord has made known to us what we can expect in the last days. Open your Bible. Read in particular the book of Revelation. God has made crystal clear what will happen when the seals of the scroll will be opened. There are no surprises. We have the light of God's word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, to clear the darkness of the world. The Apostle Peter writes about that in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 19, where it says, chapter 1, verse 19, "And we have the prophetic words, more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." For us it is now to rejoice in this light. Only then we will find safety, real safety, peace. With the compass of Scripture, we'll see God at work in all that's happening in the world, in all that's happening also in the church and in our personal life. Using this compass, we learn that we will meet with difficulties, hardship, sorrow, pain, hurt due to the consequences of sin. Life is broken. Life is broken, and it causes tears, hardship, struggles, even in the lives of sincere children of God. One only has to read the book of Psalms. It shows how children of God struggle in faith. At times they felt as if God had forsaken them. And then you should not say there's lack of faith. But it portrays the struggle of faith and how in those struggles the Lord is near. Our tears are precious in God's eyes. We don't have to hide them. Once I read, "Pray to God. Pray to God that he will turn your tears into rainbows." Meaning, amid the tears, you cling to God's promises. Then you will stand firm. Then through the tears, you see the Son of God's grace. It causes these tears to become rainbows. Pray to God that he will turn your tears into rainbows. God's promise that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But to see a nice rainbow, you need also dark clouds. I summarize the message of this morning. Amos urges God's people to see God at work in all that is happening. Beloved, do you see God's hands? Do we see that God is busy with us as congregation? Busy with us also personally? Let us daily pray to the Lord that he may open our eyes to see it. Not that in the first place what others do wrong. You can look at the others, the nation we live in, and you can talk about God's judgment about a rebellious nation, a heathen nation, as Australia has become. But don't do that first. Look first at yourself. What does it tell me that we go through this pandemic? What does it tell me when we have all this revolution in this world? See, still you are very good at looking at others. But start with examining yourself. We follow the news. Yet how? Let us open our Bible. And then there is nothing new. God has already foretold that there can come a pandemic. Revelation 6, verse 7. "When the seven seals are opened, and the fourth seal is opened, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come,' and looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over the first force of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence." There you have it. God has forewarned us. This is what's going to happen. He revealed it beforehand, and then it happened. And that's not the first time, brothers and sisters. Think of the bubonic plague, also called the Black Death, in the 14th century, that killed 200 million people in Europe and the Near East. Think of the Spanish flu 100 years ago, 1918 and following years, which killed 50 million people worldwide. God was busy calling people to repentance, urging people to come to him to find true peace and rest. But likewise, God is active today, not only with this world, but with all who have turned their back upon him, busy also with us. So the question remains, what is our response? Can you say, brothers and sisters, after a year of COVID-19, that it has brought you closer to God? Maybe serving God needs greater priority in your life. Perhaps you need to learn again what it means to put your trust in God alone. Let go of all anxiety. Probably for all of us it means that we should live our faith more clearly. We're all good at explaining the doctrine. Also the doctrine about God's providence. But to live it, just let go. In childlike faith, living out of Father's hand. And radiating that to everyone who crosses our path, COVID-19, you can't have hardly any discussion with anyone today, or sooner or later, COVID-19 comes up. And we talk about COVID-19. But do you then mention also the Lord? Just go back in your mind. The times that you talked with someone about COVID-19, how often did you mention the Lord? The American election and all the turmoil around it. 6th of January, Capitol, invaded by rebellious people. Horrible. And we talk about it. Did you ever mention God's name? We like to stay up with the news. How many cases today in Victoria, New South Wales or Queensland? Up to date with border restrictions, lockdowns. Does this might also good at times just to turn the news off? Turn the news off, making time to meditate. Quiet time in the inner room, as Christ spoke about it in the Sermon on the Mount. Quiet time, busy with God's word and in prayer. Not just a quick prayer, but making time for it. That brings peace, inward peace. Let's be busy with this as a family. Remember, all this unrest, all this anxiety can quickly also affect our children, especially their mental health. Try to give them peace and rest by pointing them to the gospel, which tells, don't worry, Father is in control. He's also your Father. Whatever the future brings, He will be with you. You may shelter with Him. I realize, brothers and sisters, that an attitude like this does not end all struggles. Yet it gives the comfort that in these struggles we may cling to God. It's His fatherly hand that leads us also through the valleys of life. And there we may find our strength in this often so broken life that there is not one step in life we have to do with our God. That knowledge will guide us, give us strength to cope no matter what is at hand. Then in the valley we struggle. Remember the words we'll sing. Psalm 42, 43. My soul, why are you sad and grieving? Why so oppressed with anxious care? Hope yet in God, His word believing, for light and joy from Him receiving. I'll praise His name again, and Lord, my Savior and my God. What a beautiful comfort, beloved. God is with us. He will lead us. It's His hand that rules the world, also our personal lives. Father's hand. To that hand we may cling. Then we are safe. Safe always. When I was reading this sermon, I do that always prior to the service, I go to the sermon again. I thought of that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace has brought us safe this far. 'Twas grace, and grace will bring us safely home. Amazing grace. Amen. Thank you. lead you in prayer. In our prayer, we will remember the things which are also mentioned already in the announcements. We will remember the Pluck family. We'll thank the Lord that Reverend Paul accepted the call, and also the call of Reverend Elkema. And in addition to that, we will also remember Sister Rhiannon Dekker, a grandchild of Brother and Sister Ben and Martha Schoof. Rhiannon, who lives in Eucalypt Home, was admitted to hospital about 2 weeks ago with an infection and suffering several seizures. She's under doctor's care in hospital as they try different medication. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we could sing that when we are sad and grieving, at times oppressed with anxious care, we may hope in thee. Die with believing that thou art there to care for us. With thee we may safely hide under the shelter of thy wings. Lord, grant that these are not just words, but that daily we may live from the riches of this confession to thy glory and our comfort. Guide us by thy Spirit to see that thou art in control, not only of all that is going on in this world, but also concerning our personal life. Lord, what great comfort it is to know, also at times when we feel overwhelmed by the worries and anxieties of life. Lord, this morning we bring before thee the needs of this world. So many people who do not know where to turn with all their anxiety, the unrest in their hearts. Grant that they may come to know thee. Bless to this end all mission work, but equally the testimony of Christian aid workers working in stricken areas, often under challenging circumstances. Be near to them. Bless their testimony. Lord, help us too in testifying about thee, the place thou hast given us in this life. Help us in showing compassion, living Christ-like, following his example in caring for those in need, not just in the church, but also in the society we live in. God of all grace, grant that also in this way thy name may be hallowed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Be near to us as congregation. Help us to show compassion to one another. Also, it's in the communion of saints, caring for each other, in self-denying love, making us a living congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, reaching out also to the wavered. Father, so many who have turned their back upon thee also in the church, withdrawn the discipline, at times even excommunicated. Lord, let us not write them off. Where we have opportunity to reach out us to them, so that also these prodigals may come home and sit together with us at the merits feast of the Lamb. Lord, be near to those who grieve. This morning we pray in particular for the Pluck family. We pray for Henk and Christine and their children, Jane and Hilco and their children, and other relatives. Be near, especially to children and grandchildren. Lord, here on earth there is grief. Yet for our sister Dina Pluck, to die was gain. Grant comfort, especially on the day of the funeral, but also afterwards. For Father, though there is comfort in knowing that our loved ones are with thee, at the same time here on earth, grief never ends. It can hit all of a sudden, even after a long time. But also then thou art there to carry us. And so we commit all who grieve into thy almighty care. Lord, this morning we pray thee also for our sister Rhiannon Dekker, the granddaughter of brother and sister Ben and Martha Schoof. If it is thy will, grant that this special child of thine may recover from her infections and seizures. Be near to her parents, but also to her grandparents. Surround her all with thy love. Carry them by thy grace. What is more, we also thank thee for the good news that Reverend Paul could accept the call extended to him to serve as a missionary in PNG. Be near to him and his family throughout this time of transition. And if it is thy will, grant that visa soon can be granted and that it will not take long that he can take up his task next to Reverend Young in Lay. We pray thee also for the Young family present in Canada. Be with Sister De Jong in particular. Make all things well, also at the time when the baby is due to be born. We commit them as a family into thy almighty care. But we pray also for Reverend Alkema in deciding the call extended to him. Give him wisdom. And give also to the Alkema family all they need in this time that often causes a lot of unrest in the men's. Lord, we commit him into thy care. Pray thee for Reverend Poppy, Father, as he will take up his task after the holidays, a new season starts. Will thou give him health, strength, and wisdom throughout this season? Be near also to his wife and family. Carry them together by thy grace. Surround them with thy love. God of all grace. At times our mind is so full of all kinds of things we want to lay before thee. At times it's even difficult to put it all into words. But thou knowest what lives in our hearts. And so we pray thee, hear us. Accept our thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. In conclusion, let us sing all the 5 verses of hymn 78.
Amen.
That the offerings this morning are for the work of mission in PNG. You can give them at the exit or electronically. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.